Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-host, and with me today is Matt Smith. In the 18th episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith, Matt will be discussing the last two matches for Fulham from a coaching perspective. Later on, we'll have another edition of You're the Head Coach, and Matt will discuss what he would do if he was the head coach for Fulham. What's great about this episode is we can talk about two Fulham victories, and we're going to be breaking them down. Before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. It's been a long time. Mr. Matt Smith, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Russ. It's been a while. Work has been this is supposed to be my off season, man. But it's been one thing after the another. After another, we're going through some budgetary stuff, and so gotta take care of the business side, the ugly side of it, as I call it, which I'm sure a lot of coaches have to deal with. But it's great to be back. Great to obviously even better to be back after two Fulham victories and. 6 points and got our magic number down to 12. 12 points won or 12 points dropped by the top team, and that's still in the relegation zone. The only team that can catch us, then we stay up. And so the lower that number they can get, the better. So it's always great to be back. Always great to be talking Fulham with you.
Well, listen, I look forward to going through this with you. And the way we're going to do this show, we're going to be talking about the last two matches in order. We will definitely talk a great deal about Preston North End, but we have to start with the MK Dons match. Let's start there because that's where the good really starts. We have to start there because this was a match that was extremely important. True 6-pointer. Fulham needed this victory. So let's just start your overall thoughts on this match.
Well, I'll tell you, in the past couple of years, we've had a lot of conversations on this show, whether it's me and you or you and David and Mike and all those and Giannis and all those guys, talking about the game coming up, a home match, it being a big game, whether you want to call it a must win or, definitely a need to win match against a team around you. And then so often in the past couple of years, the team has come out flat, has come out, dropped off, low energy, low press. That's absolutely not what we got. We got the type of Fulham performance at home that we expected from the get-go. Very energetic, pressing high up the field, not giving them a second to breathe, really using the crowd. And the crowd was fantastic, I thought. Really using the crowd's energy to really press forward. And we were just, in the first 10, 15 minutes, we just looked flat out more athletic than they did. I mean, they looked we put them on their heels. We were on the front foot. We really put a lot of pressure on them, and I thought that kind of set the tone for the match. Like I said, so often we'll talk on this show or a preview show about how important this next game is at home. Oh, it's at home. We should come out and attack them. We shouldn't sit back. Yada yada yada. And then obviously sometimes what happens is we'll drop in and play very tentatively and stuff like that. And we definitely did not see that. And I hope this is kind of hope this is the beginning of a trend for us at home, especially with teams that are down in and around us, to really put them on the back heel, on their heels and really run at them and really just use our energy and intensity to really kind of set the tone for the match. And I think that's kind of what we did.
Okay, very good. And let's focus first on the attack. Let's just talk about, I want you to break it down from a coaching perspective, what you watched when you watched back the match and what you think was going through Savisa's mind when he was setting them out for this match?
Well, it was an interesting lineup. You really don't have a true winger on the field. Kearney, yes, is he a left? Did he come in as a left midfielder? Yes, but we have found out through the course of the season that he actually is more comfortable and even possibly more effective a little bit more centrally. So
absolutely,
when you have him and Cunnicliffe. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you're absolutely right about that, Matt.
Yeah, and so, when you don't have a true winger, so it was very interesting. You don't have a true winger, that's going to make us a little bit more narrow. But the one thing that I wasn't in the attack, that I really wasn't, very impressed with, and I think it's something we need to address in the off season, is we really don't have anybody that's going to run at somebody and take somebody on 1v1. And that's something that Sean Davis mentioned in the commentary. Is that we really don't strike fear in the heart of in the heart of defenses in terms of 1v1 running at people. What we're looking to do is find Musa in a channel, find Ross in a channel, really counterattack very quickly, catch a half chance, use Moose's athleticism and Russ's finishing ability and things like that. Now we talked before earlier in the season about how we would never shoot from outside the box. We are doing that now.
We are
definitely an improvement. But I think that, you know, it's, I think we've got to strike some fear in the heart of defenses. And I think that, you know, especially with the way we started, even in the back, if you want to talk about our attack, starting in the back with our attack, I hate to say it, but Stearman's not taking anybody on.
Exactly.
Yeah, we basically started the match with four center backs, which is that going to keep us more sound defensively? Yeah, and we'll get to that. But I think it almost looked like he was like Slavisa was saying, listen, we're going to hold it back here. We've got everything settled. Basically, we're going to attack with six instead of eight, and we're going to try to run at them and try to keep the ball and, still go on the counterattack, try to get a half chance, get the ball into Moussa and Ross and let them kind of work together, which obviously they did. It's at times it's a little bit frustrating. When Ryan Fredericks came in, I think that's kind of what he was there to do. He's probably the one player in our side that will really worry opponents when he's running at him at speed. When he's not on the field, I think we played a little bit narrow. Obviously, you can't really complain. We got the two goals out of it, and maybe that was the tactic. Maybe they were weak down the middle of the field, we overloaded the middle field. And you did see that we at times severely dominated possession. I thought Scott Parker played a very, very good game. As energetic as I've seen him, in the past couple months. So, exciting things, but still kind of a little bit vanilla. I find it to be a little bit too predictable. Maybe it's because I've watched too many Fulham matches that I just know what's going to happen. And maybe for a neutral who just seen us play for the first time wouldn't expect that. But I think we're really riding the backs of McCormick and Dembele. And right now, they're carrying us to the finish. So I guess I can't complain.
Yeah, listen, I certainly understand that because you have the two strikers up front that are definitely doing their job. But I'm glad that you brought up Ryan Fredericks coming in because I thought he made a huge difference once he came in. And Sean Davis kept talking about the 1v1 that we did not have anyone at that time because you had Richard Stearman. He's not going to be able to do that. You needed someone at some point to come and do that. And you did see that with Ryan Fredericks, and he actually set up the second goal. So it did make a difference having him come on.
Right.
And then I agree with you. For next season, they need to find not only one, maybe possible two players that can do that, not just from the fullback position, but it can really run at people. Because on the other side, you have Tim Ream, and I think Tim Ream is a solid defender, but he's not going to do that. Luke Garbrandt can cross the ball. We've seen that, but he's really not going to run at you. The only one that's going to do that is your fullback, Ryan Fredericks. And Matt, I don't think that's good enough. I don't think it's good enough to just have one person. I think you're really depending a great deal on one player to give that action. And it was desperately needed in this match. That, to me, was one of the faults of the attack. I thought the attack did its job, but it could have been more effective if he started Fredericks. That's just my thought.
Yeah, and I agree. To the other side of that, maybe it made even more of an effect with the change from Stearman to Fredericks. Does that make sense?
True.
So, you start Stearman where he's going to stay at home. Okay, now that left winger, Josh Murphy for Milton Keynes, for MK Dons, doesn't really have to worry about Stearman coming forward, whatever. All of a sudden, Fredericks comes in, and now I actually do have to worry about it. And it's, I've played, I'm not exactly fresh, and he's coming in fresh off the bench, and maybe, throwing kind of a different speed pitch kind of at somebody can even make it more effective. But I'm with you. I think that, with the energy that we were playing with, I think if we had had somebody like that can bomb down the wings, from the get-go, I think we could have even, put a couple away. I thought their goalkeeper was fantastic, the American kid, Cody Cropper, who
he played very well.
Who I think if he doesn't get a look in, unfortunately, the under-23s didn't qualify again for the Olympics, but I thought he played very, very well. If it weren't for him, it probably could have been four. Like you said, the defense did its job, but I thought Sean Davis made a great point. When the team were really doing well and the club were really doing well, it's when we had attacking center mids and forwards that would run at people at pace, get into the box, win penalties, or get behind people and really strike fear in the hearts of the defenders. And right now, I think it's kind of four against two. They're back four to make sure that Musa and Ross McCormack don't get in behind. And luckily for us, they're playing on a string right now where they're confident enough that they can take on those four players. So, I hope they can keep that going, but maybe we can just add some pieces. Obviously, we're probably going to lose them in the summer, unfortunately. We're definitely going to lose Musa. You hope that you can bring in a player that can really add some flair and add some pace to the team and really try to run at people. And, I mean, it's one thing that Gentleman Jim was saying, I'm not sure the last time we've had a home penalty. And that really comes from running at people inside the box. And, we used to get those almost, on a bi-weekly basis. So,
that's right.
I think it's something that we definitely need to look at. I thought that was a great point by them.
I totally agree. I was thinking the same thing. It's like we don't seem to get those types of calls, and part of it is our actions, is our own actions. Okay, Matt, we've already been talking about the attack. Let's talk about the defense because it really, for me, I think Savisa sent us up extremely defensively. I understand why, but when you have four in the back and they're all center backs, I mean, that kind of tells you everything you need to know. But just share with me your overall observations of Fulham on defense.
Well, I think his goal was to be defensively solid. Like I said, attack with six, and have those back four really, just support. And I think that if you look at it from left to right, Ream is going to be comfortable on the ball, not going to be bombing up the wings, but is definitely competent with the ball at his feet. I think what he set us up for was not necessarily to attack out of the back, but to hopefully just keep possession and link up with midfielders out of the back. I think that's kind of how he set us up. Obviously, the goal that we gave up is an absolute travesty. That's Sunday pub league stuff. With two players stepping to one ball, it bounces over them, and then Bettinelli, is left 1v1, and what are you going to do there as a goalkeeper? But I thought overall, without the one hiccup, I thought they defended decently well. I think that we are defending corners with a little bit more intensity now. MK Don's service wasn't fantastic, to be honest. If I'm playing against us, I'm putting the ball right outside the six and just making kind of a mess of it and seeing who wants to go get it. They drove a lot of balls to the near post, which we covered well. Bettinelli, I don't think had his best game personally. I didn't listen to the post game show, so I haven't heard kind of how you guys rated him, but I didn't rate him very much in that match. I thought that I thought he played okay, made a couple of good saves. I thought actually for both games, and we'll go over the other game in a second, but he was just okay. He's still getting back into it, so I'm not going to crucify him or anything like that, but I think that he is getting back into it, but he does show some rust in terms of his aggressiveness off his line and controlling his box and things like that. Overall without the one hiccup, I think they did their job. But that's something that the first thing that you're gonna, when you step on the training field the first time the next week when you're working on defending, you're gonna address that. That's the first thing you address is. And, it's kind of a common knowledge thing that in tactics is obviously the center back who is stepping calls the ball. Okay, I've got ball, whatever. I'm going, Ammo's ball, Maddle's ball, whatever. And then the other one doesn't stay still. They actually drop in behind. So they almost become like a diamond, almost a sweeper stopper just for a second to be able to support that in case something like that happens. A ball bounces over and we can clean it up. To have two professional, experienced center backs do that, and not only to both step to the ball, but to both so poorly judge the ball, we hope we don't see that again. Because whenever that happens, teams just at this level, really, anywhere in the professional leagues, from League Two to the Premier League, teams are going to take advantage of a mistake like that. And so we can't have too many more of those. So hopefully we can get rid of that. But, overall, I think we did enough. I don't think MK Dons really, really threatened too much. I mean, obviously they were pushing there at the end, but I thought we held our ground and really were able to keep possession out of the back and let us go forward. So, at 3 points is 3 points, but there's definitely some things you have to address.
Matt, listen, first of all, thank you for really going through explaining that whole situation, because I was about to ask you as a follow-up, and you went right into it because I wanted to get your thoughts on what should have happened, and you really went through that. So thank you for doing that. And that's something that just shouldn't happen. I watched that back, and it was actually worse watching it than listening to it. It was worse because I could not believe that actually happened. It was that bad.
I thought that it was just kind of, both of them just took two steps forward. I didn't realize that it was both of them going for a ball and both of them misjudging it, which made it look a little Keystone Cop-ish. I've never been a huge fan of Amor Bieta anyway. I really haven't. I don't think that he's a great communicator. I think he takes too many chances. I think he is somebody who wants to make the big play, which is why he makes bad tackles and gives away penalties and things like that. And for me as a center back, I don't want somebody who wants to be a playmaker. Let your center mids, let your wingers, even your outside backs and fours, let those guys be the playmakers. You be the one that keeps everything solid in front, force everything wide, not allow shots, things like that. Don't give away stupid fouls. And unfortunately, that's kind of his MO. He kind of does, once a game, twice a game. He tends to do that. So I've never been a big fan of his. I'm not going to necessarily put it just on him, because obviously Maddo was there as well. And so the communication's got to be there. So whether or not, I always tell my players, there's two parts to communication. If somebody did call that, which obviously it's tough for us to hear on the video, but if somebody did call it, even if Amor Bieta called it, then it's Maddo's fault, because the other part of communication is you have to listen. So if nothing was said, then obviously there's fault on both sides. If somebody called it, then the other one didn't listen, then the communication still broke down. So you got to make sure both sides of that communication is working between your center backs.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, let's look at the positives first. What are the obviously getting the 3 points is a huge positive, but what other positives do you take out of this this victory? Out of the performance, what are the positives that stand out for you?
Oh, just for me, the energy and just the atmosphere that Craven Cottage should be. Not only the fans really brought it, and they had the clappers out, and it was a really, really good atmosphere. Everybody knowing it's an important game, but just the players' reaction to that, and just how hard they fought. I mean, Scott Parker, made some great tackles and really was bringing the ball forward at pace, through the neutral third, a decent amount. And so, I thought that was a huge, huge positive. Probably the biggest positive for us was that first 15 minutes, because I feel like the tone of a game can really be set in those first 15 minutes. Too often at home do we sit back and say, hey, let's let the game settle down, right? Unfortunately, I don't think that we're talented enough defensively to be able to dictate a slow pace. Okay. You and I have talked about on the show before that typically the team that dictates the pace is the one that's going to be able to win the game. Whether it's you slowing the game down and keeping everything in front and playing low intensity, or you speeding up the game and playing with high energy both in the attack and in the defense. I just don't think we're talented enough defensively to be able to dictate the pace successfully at a slow pace. I do think that we have the athletes and the players and the attacking players that if we can defend with intensity, it immediately bleeds over to the attacking side, and we can really go forward. So for me, the biggest positive of it was those first 15 minutes, setting the tone. Ross's goal that when you set the tone of the hard work and things like that, that's why goals like Ross McCormick's happen, where if it's a slow game and we're just kind of methodical or whatever, that touch off of Moussa Dembele that goes kind of away from him towards the goal line, he probably doesn't run that out because it's a little bit more methodical. It's a little bit more blasé and, you know, whatever kind of catchphrase you want to use for it. But no, there was the atmosphere that we're going to run everything down. And so he took off after that, was able to get to it and slide it back beautifully to Ross McCormick for a little tap in. So, I mean, I think all of that just kind of bleeds out through the whole game, and it's how you start the first 15 minutes. So, for me, that's the biggest positive.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, let's talk about the negatives. For me, it's pretty obvious. It's silly mistakes, and the mistake led to the goal. Anything else stand out to you? Would you agree that defensive mistake is really the big negative to come out of it? Is there anything else that stands out negatively for you?
Well, I think it's the most glaring negative. I completely agree with that. I think it is the most glaring negative, obviously with it resulting in a goal. But even if it had resulted in just a chance, I think that would have been the most glaring negative. But I, again, going back to what we talked about in the attack, I think that at times where we tend to be, I guess, sometimes the phrase is one-trick pony. We're kind of a two-trick pony right now with McCormick and Dembele. And so, you know, as we kind of go down the stretch, you know, when we come up against, you know, even next week, even though this coming weekend against Cardiff City, you know, we've got a couple of tough road games coming up, you know, and you worry about how are we going to be able to break down defenses against some of the better defenses in the league. You know, are they going to, you know, can they handle, those guys may be able to handle McCormick and Dembele a little bit better, a little bit more effectively, and then where are we going to go from there? That's the question. And so it's not, I wouldn't say that's really a negative. I would say it's more of a worry. You know, so yes, we're going to be under pressure a little bit in a couple of road games we got coming up, but, you know, and then, but in the attack, the worry is, okay, if they are able to stifle McCormick and Dembele or one of the two, you know, you've got to be able to have a plan C, plan D, to be able to do that. So, you know, hopefully we can, you know, work that out, whether it's being more precise with our finishing outside the box or whether it's somebody really taking it on themselves to really start running at people. I think Kearney can do it. But I also think he loves to hit the wonder strike from range and things like that. So, you know, so that's kind of the one thing on the attacking side. But obviously, I think I'd agree that the most glaring negative was just the simple mistakes. It's the easy stuff, which is on one hand is you know, you can be optimistic about it and say, well, that's easy to fix, right? Or you can be the pessimistic side and say, well, if we can't do the simple things, how are we going to do the difficult things? You know, so there's definitely two ways to look at that, but one way or the other, whichever way you look at it, I think that's the first thing you address.
Okay, very good, my friend. Very good. Great discussion on that victory. Let's talk about the Preston North End match. And I thought what I would do, which would be pretty interesting, I'm going to share the full time stats with you. You tell me who won this match. We know who won the match. Fulham won the match. But here are the full time stats. I want to get your thoughts on the stats before we even do anything. Here they are, because I think they're very interesting. Possession. Preston North End, 62%, Fulham, 38%. I'm saying Preston had more possession. This, to me, was something that I was not expecting. But after I watched it and heard it, it makes sense. But still, 62% to 38%. Total shots, Preston had 20, Fulham had 7. On target, Preston had 6, Fulham had 4. Corners, Preston had 10, Fulham had 1. Crosses, Preston had 29, Fulham had 4. Tackles, Preston had 16, Fulham had 13. Attempted passes, 435 to 283 in favor of Preston. Attacking passes, 192 to 99 in favor of Preston. Passing accuracy, this is a stat that we look at a great deal to see how Fulham are passing the ball, and usually they're somewhere close to 75%. Well, in this match, Preston were at 70%, Fulham were at 61%. Aerial duels, Fulham won that, 28 to 23. Fouls, Fulham had more, 14 to 10. All right, Matt, I thought I would just share that with you to just start our conversation. What are your thoughts about the overall stats? Before we really get into that match, I'm curious your thoughts on that.
My thoughts as a pure manager are I don't care.
Thank you. In this case, definitely.
Yeah, right. You know, obviously, you're exactly right. If you just looked at this, and I'm looking at it right now, and it is pretty staggering. You know, what I see are some of the ones that just stand out to me are key passes 13-3, which typically a key pass is one that develops either an opportunity, a shot on goal, or a goal. You know, 13-3 kind of shows you, because, you know, you can have all the possession in the world, but let's talk about what you did with it. Right. I mean, it could be 90% to 10%, but if most of your possession is in the middle third or your defensive third, who cares? That's no big deal. It's all about what you did with it. So they were pretty effective in doing it. And, you know, with it. And then obviously the other one is the crosses. You know, we still are playing a little bit narrow. You know, even though Fredericks played from the get-go, but then you look at, you know, yes, they had 29 crosses, but their crossing accuracy wasn't very good. So you can almost scrap that. But you know, passing accuracy, generally speaking, about the same, not a huge difference. You know, so what I can see is possibly that we did as much as we could, you know, with the possession that we had. But, you know, you look at it, yeah, it's scary. You know, and Preston are flying high right now. You know, it's another one of those midweek championship away games that it's a long way from home. You know, it's a tough place to go. You know, against a team that's flying high at the moment and winning big games and so it was very interesting. But you know, what I saw was just a gutty performance. That's what I saw. I mean, it's, you know, if you can win a game with these kind of stats lined up against you, then that's telling me that something is going on in a good way in terms of the fight of the team to be able to work through the deficit of not having the ball very much, giving up a lot of crosses, which typically we struggle on. Everybody knows that. You know, and you know, dealing with opportunities, which, you know, you could probably say 13 key passes, that's probably at least 13 opportunities. And, you know, and we took advantage of ours, and, you know, we were able to get away with them either missing some of theirs or us taking care of some of theirs. So, yeah, the statistics are a little bit staggering, but you know what? It's at the end of the day, it's a score game. You know, and the only one that really matters, and this is very cliche, the only one that matters is the one on the scoreboard at the end of the game. So, you know, what I do with these stats is I hold them up in front of the team and I rip them to shreds, because I tell them that doesn't matter who got the 3 points. And, you know, I thought it was I think it really shows, you know, just from looking at it and watching the game as I did, I think it shows a little bit of fight and a little bit of determination to really kind of turn the corner here and go down the stretch to make us safe. So, you know, I was very, very happy. Preston's a very tough place to play. It got, you know, they're a very physical team with some very good players. And, you know, to come away with 3 points there, I think you got to be, you know, over the moon.
I totally agree. And that was part of the reason why I wanted to present that first, because I thought it would really open up our discussion here. Talking about getting the 3 points, talking about the fight, and I'm glad to use that word, because when I watched the match, I saw a fight. I saw a team come together and play together as a team and find a way to win. That to me is a major positive that you could take out of this. Stats do show a team, the other team, looking like they should have won the match, but you know what? They didn't. And we've seen this with Fulham. We talk about this in other matches. I was thinking about the Burnley match, the Hull City match. There have been other – go back to the beginning of the season against Brighton, and we're complaining how we did not win that match, and Brighton won at the very end. But they found a way to win. And if we're going to give credit to the other team then, we have to give credit to Fulham now, because I'm glad that you brought up the situation with their attacks and their crosses, because Fulham were well prepared for all of those situations. And that, to me, is something that was very important for me to see, was were they all on board? Were they all fighting together? And they were. And their attacks, you know, their crosses, you know, they were handled. Everything was handled. They did not look like they were jittery back there, Matt. They looked like they were handling their business. I took this as a business 3 points. They came together and they got the 3 points. They took advantage of the opportunities that they got. There weren't that many. The long pass from Reams set up the goal from McCormack, and then you have the situation with the goal from Dembele off of the free kick from McCormack. It happens. They took advantage of their opportunities. Look what's going on with Leicester City. Leicester City just find ways to win. It's okay to find ways to win. I think this is a positive sign. And we're going to be talking about this in the preview show, because I'm going to be talking to my co-host about this, because I've seen the term thrown out, smash and grab, and I understand this should be considered a smash and grab, but I'll take a smash and grab anytime, any day of the week over a loss.
Absolutely, especially this time of year with how important the points are. Going into the match, I would have been very happy with a point. Even when we're up 2-1, towards the end, I still would have been happy with a point. Maybe upset that we give away two leads, but I think that to get that result at that place where they are in the table, is going to be absolutely massive. And I think that we could look back and say that this is the game that kept us up, or this is the game that kept us, from being in danger of going down. So, it's a big, big 3 points to just really bear down and deal with things. I think, we'll get into a little bit more of the specifics, but I thought there were some dodgy performances from people, maybe just being tired with the quick turnaround, the 3-day turnaround, which is just difficult, and going that far away from home. But we handled it well. We defended and as a unit, and didn't see too many miscommunications from Maddle and Amorebieta. Apparently they did approach that and deal with that. Really, a couple of the close opportunities they had were because of people losing footing, or with Ream. I remember one with Ream where he just kind of lost his footing a little bit to leave somebody open on the back post that we handled. On their goal, I think that was probably a little bit of tiredness on Parker's part. I mean, the guy turned him inside out, but I mean, yep. Parker's playing, at that point it was into 160, into close to 160 minutes for him in 4 days. And I'm not sure you can ask him to do that too often. I'm sure he wants to, but, that was just kind of one of those deals. Very happy with just the grit and the determination to come out with 3 points.
Okay, very good. Let's go back, because I want to talk about the goal, and I've watched it several times. I'm talking about the goal from Preston North End, and it was a very good effort by the Preston North End player that scored it. His name escapes me at this moment, but he had a good, powerful shot. I have to ask the question, should Marcus Bettinelli have done better here?
Yeah. I thought that, I mentioned that he had a tough game, or a very average game against MK Dons. I actually thought he was pretty poor in this game with his handling and dealing with things in the box. I thought he was very, very passive. Really didn't attack the ball. What you really want to see is, with a ball in the box inside the six, you really want to see him attack the ball and really control his box. And I thought he did kind of a poor job of doing that. Made a couple of good stops that, you would expect him to make. I think that right there, what he's got to do is I think he's got to close that angle down a little bit more. If you watch it back, as I'm doing right now on the match action, he's still rooted to his line. So after Scott Parker gets beat, he really doesn't come out to close down the angle. He really just kind of sits where he is. It's megged, which, that happens. It was a powerful shot and all that kind of stuff. But, I think that he'll be upset with that one. I think that he won't be happy with himself with that one. As high of a standard as I think that he holds himself to, I think he won't be happy with that.
Okay. Real good there, my friend. All right. Let's just talk about the performance in general. I've already shared my thoughts on this, that I think as a performance, the way I look at it, I know that all the numbers suggest, and we talk about stats all the time, do stats tell the story, and they do tell a story. But for me, the performance was coming together as a team and playing as one, and you could see that. You could see that, that togetherness, playing as a unit. That, to me, talks about a performance. It was not pretty, but it got the result. So I just want to focus on the performance. Let's talk about the job at hand. Did they get it done? I know they got the 3 points, but let's talk about the performance. What Slavisa wanted them to do, did they execute it?
I probably don't think so. Think that they had we probably allowed them a little bit too much possession. I think we allowed them to just from watching, I think we allowed too many crosses. I don't think we were closed down. I thought we were a little bit passive sometimes in our defending, maybe afraid that they were going to go by us. And that's kind of going back to what we were talking about. What we need is, you know, if players aren't worried about you going by them, you can always close them down a little bit more. But, you know, obviously we were worried about some of their more athletic wingers trying to get behind us and get around us and things like that. So maybe we would step off and they would be able to provide crosses. But I think the thing that I would, if I was Slavisa, the thing that I would step into the locker room after the game and say is, I would almost go down the list. They had 2/3 possession. Who cares? They had 20, how many ever crosses? Who cares? They had so many more key passes than us. Who cares? There's an old saying or an old quote by a football coach over here that said, you play to win the game. You play to win the game. And we played to win the game. We gutted it out, and it got a little chippy there at the end, which you can expect. I know we were frustrating them with really slowing the game down there at the end and possibly, you know, whether you want to call it. It really depends on which side of the result you're on is whether or not it's time-wasting, right? So
sure.
If they were doing the same thing when we were down, we would be saying it was time-wasting, all right? But we're on the right side of the score line, so we're saying that we're slowing the game down and we're being smart, and my reaction as a manager, and I've done this before in some of our games where some of the coaches would complain about it, I'd say, well, then score, and we won't slow it. You know, don't be down to us, and we won't do this. Like so it's kind of like it's your job to score. It's our job to give you as little time as possible to score. So don't complain about us trying to do our job and what pretty much everybody else does in that situation. And I think their team got frustrated by it. I thought they got pretty chippy at the end and, some pretty ugly fouls and pretty ugly kind of coming together and things like that. And so, but overall, I think it shows that what we could see happening is really a galvanizing of the team, fighting for each other and fighting to keep the team in the league, fighting for the club and the shirt that they have on, which is, I think, a lot more than we can say. You know, consider, you know, let's go back to the away game midweek at Blackburn, a month and a half ago or so.
Right.
That was a team that was not fighting for each other, fighting for themselves, fighting for the club, fighting for the fans. I think you see a complete 180 right now. You see a team who, now it's down to a couple last games. They're getting their last wind here, and they're saying, hey, let's go out on top. Let's play as well as we can through here, and let's maybe get even mid-table. We've got a run of games here that, Cardiff City at home, I think we can win that. Then if you do that, you get 3 in a row. All of a sudden, you're on a streak, and now your confidence is sky high. So, I think winning an away game like this against a good opponent at a tough place to play midweek, 48 hours, 72 hours since your last game, shows a lot of character. And I think that's something that really you probably have to attribute to Slavisa and his staff.
Yeah, totally, Matt. And that's why I wanted to share my thoughts. I want to clarify this because we're talking about the performance. I don't want them to play a performance like this. I mean, the performance we're talking about, I want them to play attractive football. This is far from that. This was a gritty performance. This was just, down and dirty, get the 3 points. This is not a performance that I want to, I want to see a team that plays attractive football. This was not it. My point of the performance having a positive performance was coming together as a unit. Does that make sense? I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
I don't want people to think that I approve of them playing this style, because I don't. I understand why they did it, and I thought they did their job well, and that's why I said it was a positive performance, because they got the results. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think this was a hide your women, hide your kids type performance. This was a man's game. And I think overall, I think for me, the style that I want to play is winning football. That's the style I want to play. Now, each game is going to determine what that means. So that style can change from game to game, half to half. You know, it could, you know, week to week, whatever it is. So it that style, what that means, could change. It could morph and change about what each game needs to be successful, what each team offers us to be able to exploit. But at the end of the day, I want to play a style of winning football. If that style happens to be this one, so be it. And I know the fans want to see pretty football, and as a fan, I do too.
Right.
Don't get me, definitely don't, don't get me wrong at all. That's definitely not my preferred style. But at the end of it, really, that things that supersedes everything is a winning style. And whatever that style is to win that game is the style that I'm going to play. If you can have a team that can play and win different types of games different ways,
that's
then
great.
You're going to see a team that's going to be successful.
I'm totally there with you, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because you know that I follow another team in another sport. That's how they win. They win in different ways, and I think that to me is why this victory is important, because it shows that they can win a different way, Matt. They can win a gritty performance. They can do that on the road. That is a difficult place to win. That's why I don't want to take anything away from this victory. I understand that this is not how we want to see Fulham play. But you brought up a very good point. You want to see winning football. That's what I want to see. I can handle them winning this way if they win the match, if they get the 3 points. I don't care. I don't care if it looks great. Did they win the match, especially on the road? That, to me, is more important than playing attractive football. It's getting the 3 points.
Right, and it's why Tony Pulis will always have a job. Tony Pulis will always be, who's the manager at West Brom, and was the manager at Stoke. That's why he'll always have a job. Is his style great? No. Is it effective? Yes. So you can say, yeah, we want to play like this, we want to play like that, whatever. At the end of the day, the manager's performance, and that's what I love about this show with you and I, is we get to talk about it from a manager's perspective.
Exactly.
My job as a manager is results-based, whether you like it or not. Whether you like to watch it or not, my job is results-based. If I get the results playing pretty, playing ugly, playing disgusting, whatever, if I get a result, that's where I am. If I play beautiful football and don't get a result, I still get fired. And, I think that, everybody wants to see the beautiful game and that kind of stuff. And again, as a fan, I want to see it too. But I'd rather see 3 points on the board than, 20 passes leading to a turnover inside the box.
That's great. That's a great way to put it, Matt. That's a great way to put
it. And it's why you see some of the teams. I remember back, back when Bolton was in the Premier League, Arsenal could never beat them. Arsenal plays that beautiful football, but can never beat them because Bolton would get in there and just mix it up with them and be physical and tough. And Sam Allardyce would, play a relatively unattractive style, but Arsenal can't win that type of game. And that's why Bolton ended up being Arsenal's bogey team. They could not beat them for some reason. It's 3 points is 3 points. And that's, I've always said, if you listen to the fans as the manager, if you listen to the fans and how they want to play, you're going to end up sitting with the fans. So get the 3 points. Your job is based on results. However you got to get those 3 points is how you get them. and you walk away and you say, whatever, and let's see how we're going to win the next one.
Okay, very good. Before we move on from this, I was just thinking while you were talking about this, what do you think Slavisa's mindset was going into this match? It seems like he was going to play against a team that plays a lot of long balls and, you know, basically, you know, really Route 1 kind of football and a really tough, gritty team. And it sounds like to me he was playing, I wouldn't say like right back to him, but it seemed like he was not going to let that team beat him. He was going to make it as difficult on Simon Grayson, the head coach for Preston North End, as possible. It's almost like he's like, you're not going to beat me. I'm going to make it difficult. You're going to have to find another way. And what's interesting, it just seemed like all of their attacks they were all similar, meaning that they never really changed it up. They're all doing the same things, and they could not beat the code. They could not break through. It's like they kept like basically banging their heads against the wall. I'm talking about Preston North End, and they couldn't break through. So, from a coaching perspective, do you think he set them up to really just infuriate them, to really, you know, make it difficult on them?
Absolutely, and I think he deserved a lot of credit for the. I think his staff deserved a lot of credit for the scout, because, you know, Slavisa is really what he'll do when they go into a scouting report and a game tactics type of meeting is he won't have done the scouting. He wouldn't have done the scouting. He would have one of his staff members going to watch them play. They'll have film on them. They'll be getting scouting reports possibly from other outlets about what they like to do. And then he'll sit down with his staff and say, okay, you know, how do we stop this? And, you know, from what it looked like and kind of what you said is they were a little bit Route 1, didn't really have too many plan Bs. They wanted to get the ball from the defensive third to the attacking third as fast as they could. You know, how can we frustrate that and stifle that? And then from there, they develop their tactics for that match. They communicate them very well, and I think that's something that's probably some of the hardest part to do is to really communicate why we're going to do what we're going to do. You know, especially if it's something different from the game before, and I think it definitely was. You know, luckily what you have is you have some very experienced professionals that understand that, you know, a game at home against MK Dons is going to be a vastly different game away against Preston North End. And so they understand that. Whereas young players, I think, would say, well, we won playing this style. Why don't we just play that style? But having those experienced professionals, you know, Scott Parker, even O'Hara, you know, being around the team, Stearman, you know, those kind of guys that can really lead and really kind of buy into what the manager is doing for that week and trying to explain to the younger players why we're doing it. And if you can communicate that well to your leaders, to your younger players, they're going to buy in. And it's going to be more effective. And then it goes to the how well the players execute. And I thought they executed it very well. So I think from top to bottom, from backroom staff all the way down to the playing staff, I thought it was executed you know, as well as possible. And yeah, there were some nervy moments and things like that. But when you're away against the top, you know, against a team that's playing well and a team that plays long ball anyway, you know, they're going to, you know, it's not like, you know, when a team who loves to possess the ball is down a goal, all of a sudden they've got to play long ball. That can be very uncomfortable for them, so they may not be very, you know, very successful. But when you play a team that already is like that and they're down a goal late, you're going to see a lot more of it. You're going to see a lot more of it, and you've got to deal with it. And, you know, but you're very prepared. So I thought that they did a very good job of preparing for this match, especially with the quick turnaround, preparing for this match and being ready to deal with things and executing the game plan.
And that's my major positive to come out of this. It was the preparation and it was executing the plan. And, you know, I would love for them to play this attractive brand of football each and every match. But if they can win matches like this, this is a positive sign for me. That's just how I feel on it. All right, my friend, let's move on. Let's look at it as you're the head coach. Of course, we have a quick turnaround. We got a match on Saturday. So what would you be working on in the next few days with the attack, you know, going into the Carve City match, that maybe you've learned in the last two matches? What would you be working on the training ground?
I think I'd be working on trying to get Kearney and Tunnicliffe, Fredericks, and some of our other wingers, really trying to run at people and get inside of them, as compared to taking it down the line, and really trying to occupy outside backs, which, if you have a winger that can come down and occupy an outside back and then draw them out to you, and even get past them, if you can get past an outside back and run at them, get behind them, it's going to have to pull out a center back. Then you've got one center back against Moussa Dembele and Ross McCormack, which I'll take every day. And so we've got to pull players out of shape and make them make decisions. I think that's the biggest thing that I always talk about with my team in the attack is you've got to make defenders make decisions. Do I step to him or do I stay here and stay with this man? If you can make them make decisions, eventually, the more decisions you make them make, just the law of averages says one time they're going to make the wrong one. If they don't, then you tip your hat to them and say, good job. But I think even at the highest level, if you make a center back make decision after decision, eventually he's going to either not make the right one fast enough or he's going to make the wrong one, which is going to open up and we have to be able to be ready to react to that mistake and execute and finish chances. So I think that's probably the thing that I would be working on is trying to occupy not only one but maybe two defenders. So, trying to really run at people. If you're not running at people and the ball is still and there's a first defender on you, the second defender can be much further away. The covering defender can be much further away because there's no danger of you getting behind that player. If you can get behind that player, then the next time that covering defender has to be even closer, which opens up space on the backside. So it kind of is a domino effect. And so we've got to be able to occupy two defenders for one player in terms of a first defender and then a covering defender behind to change their shape, which opens up gaps for Ross and even our center midfielders to run into and to give us some better options.
Okay, very good. And to go off on this, and I forgot to mention this while we were talking about the match, Tom Kearney came off injured in the Preston North End match, and he would be a major loss if he cannot go for the Cardiff City match. We're moving forward. We don't know at this point of the severity of the injury, but he did come off injured, Matt. So you're Slavica, you're the head coach. What would you be doing this week to prepare for a loss like Kearney?
I would look at several different things. I would look at possibly playing Fredericks in that position and playing him as a true winger. Or you could look at, playing 5-3-2 and sliding Tunnicliffe into his true position and sliding, basically playing, if you would play Stearman, Maddle, and Emo Brieta in the center and then slide Fredericks out to right back. I think if healthy, I think you may see if Kearney can't go and from everything that I've seen, I actually haven't seen that he's completely out, but I also, it's actually probably when a player comes off from an injury, you would probably see something saying he's okay before you'd see it him out. So the longer it goes on, the more you think that he's probably going to be out. I could see Frederick stepping in and trying to do the exact same, just trying to get up and down and whether it's a 5-3-2. Whether it's a 4-4-2 like we've been playing, but finally with a true winger, I think that could kind of add to our attack and possibly just bring a different kind of. It would be a big loss. It would be a loss because I think Kearney is a good player and I think he's been very good for us and he's been very, he's affected the game in a lot of ways. But I think that Fredericks brings something that I don't think anybody else we have brings, and so it may be a good chance for him to get a nice long run out and see what we can do on that side.
Okay, excellent. All right, let's talk about the defense. What would you be working on this week in training?
Just continuing to reinforce everything that you're doing well. I think that when you start to muddle the minds of the defenders of every mistake they make, because it is. Defending is a science. It's very black and white, right? Attacking is more of an art form. It's more creative, free flowing. You need some more kind of artistic minds and more creative minds to be able to be effective attackers. I think to be effective defenders, it's got to be more scientific, more black and white. When the ball's here, here's the shape we need to be in. When the ball's here, here's the shape we need to be in. So on and so forth. And there's really not a lot of gray area there. You want to try to make as the least amount of gray area as you possibly can. When there's a glaring mistake, like there was against MK Dons, yes, you address that immediately. But then when they address it and they do well, then you say, okay, let's just go back and reinforce that. Do it again, right, and rep it out. And so then it becomes instinct, and it becomes much more natural when it comes to the game. So just continuing to reinforce, being solid in the back, not trying to do anything crazy, trying to link up with our center midfielders, looking for long balls over the top if teams are pressed high and letting Ross and Dembele catch people sleeping, trying to knock the rust off of Bettinelli a little bit. I still think he is a little bit rusty, but right now I think what you do is coming off of two decent performances and 6 points and going to a game like Cardiff City, obviously what you do is you talk about their danger players and who we need to look out for. But I think also, especially being at home, you worry a little bit more about us and about how we want to play and how they're going to have to adjust to us.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right. I think it's pretty much time to wrap up this show. So before we go, any final thoughts, my friend? I really enjoyed this. Thank you. It's been a long time. We need to do these more often. But I know you're very busy. You've got a very busy schedule, so I'm just glad that we could do this today. This is Thursday, and I'm very jealous. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm tell everyone why I'm jealous. Matt is going to the Masters tomorrow. Him and his lovely wife, Heather, are going to the Masters. I'm very jealous. You have a wonderful time.
Yeah, oh, we will. We've been a couple times. Luckily, my birthday is actually on Saturday, and so my birthday always tends to fall around the Masters. And my best friend, a guy who I'm going to be his best man at his wedding in July, his family actually has two badges for life. So we've been lucky enough to be able to get a day this year, and it's a beautiful place. Can't wait for it. It's going to be beautiful weather. But, hopefully Saturday, Fulham can give me a nice little birthday present. And
that would be great.
It's a big game. We've got to get 12 points one way or the other. Either they drop 12 or we gain 12, or any combination of the two, and we're going to stay up. So I'll have a good time. I'm sure I'll have a great birthday weekend, but it's going to be a lot better if we can come out with 3 points.
I'm there with you, my friend. And in advance, happy birthday on Saturday.
Thank you very much. And we got to do this. You're right. We got to do this much, much sooner. I miss it. And sometimes I'll get withdrawals and I'll get the shakes. But we'll definitely get back on, especially down here crunch time of the season.
Okay, great. And like I said, I love doing this show with you, my friend. We will be doing more episodes. But that's going to do it for the 18th episode of the Coaching Corner with Matt Smith. For Matt, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, my friend. Have a great day.
All right, cheers, Russ.
Boys and girls.